Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise. Sorry, I need to adjust my camera. One second. Oh my God, guys, I'm back. It's been a while, actually. It's been a week since I've been here on F4W Online. I came back earlier today with a new edition of the latest, but in terms of podcasting, this is my first show back since getting married. Afterwards, I went on a honeymoon, so I'm back, ready to get things going, but also, I didn't get to do my NXT show for the last 2 weeks, literally because of just everything that's been going on. So I missed 2 weeks of NXT. And so today, kind of going into this show, I went into it thinking like, okay, you know, what have I missed? So I had to kind of get filled in a little bit with what's actually going on. And where are things? How much has actually changed? What hasn't changed? Where are we at in the storylines that, you know, I was discussing previously? And let me tell you, there were a lot of things that I completely forgot about when I tuned into NXT this week. And I'm like, oh, that's still a thing? Great. Oh, that's still going on? Great. So just a lot about that today. So this review is going to be a little bit different just because, again, I was out of the loop for 2 weeks on NXT. So I'm basically getting re-caught up with everything. But given that I've been reviewing all of these shows, I think it'll be pretty easy to get back into the groove of things. So it's going to be kind of fun to review NXT 2.0 with a different lens this week. We are going to be talking about the August 9th edition. This was the go-home show into Heatwave, which is going to be happening next week. Now, before we get into the actual show, just really quickly, guys, you all know the drill, how this works. Please stay active in the chat. I'm seeing a lot of people saying, welcome back, Denise. Thank you guys so much for having me. I think on my last show, I said when I come back, I hope I get a pop. So hopefully there's someone out there popping right now in their living room going, yay, Denise is back. So anyways, on top of that, stay active in the chat. I will be pulling up comments. I will be reading your thoughts and all of that. And also, just to let you guys know, I am going to be pushing Super Chats a lot because Wrestle Rumble is the period of them sponsoring my videos is over with. So I'm back here. I'm going to be pushing harder than ever. So if you guys do want to get your question, comment, or statement read on any of these shows, feel free to send in a Super Chat. They do help support these podcasts and they do help me stay, you know, afloat. Anyways, but let's go ahead and get some thoughts in here and see what people are saying. This is from Jay Honcho, who says, feels like you've been gone forever, but so glad you're back. Dude, I felt so like guilty, guys. I'm a workaholic. I'm very much so a workaholic. So I legitimately felt guilty not being here this week. I just kept thinking like, oh my God, I'm missing so much. I'm going to fall behind. You know, all of this stuff. But now that I'm back getting into the groove of things, it feels really, really nice. So I'm glad to be back here. Let's see what we got here, everybody. YT says, Denise was busy laughing at my tweet. That's why she was late. The camera was a cover up. Yeah, actually, I was late to today's show because I'm trying to figure stuff out, guys, because the WrestleMania launch party is going to be happening this Thursday at SoFi Stadium. And so there's like a whole thing where I'm trying to figure out, am I on the list? Am I not on the list? Am I just going to show up and be like, hey, I'm Denise, here I am. So I kind of got to get confirmed for things. So I was kind of dealing with that right beforehand. So that's why I was late, because I was trying to confirm whether or not I'm going to be at the WrestleMania launch party this Thursday. And if I don't hear back by tonight, I'm going to be making quite a bit of phone calls tomorrow. But anyways, let's continue on. We got a super chat here from Darf Steven C77, our first super chat of the day, who says, welcome back, Denise. We missed you. Thank you, dude. I really hope you guys did. Brandon Charles Powell says, pop. Hell yeah. I got a pop. I appreciate it, man. Nick Grosso sends in a super chat saying, hey, Denise, great to have you back and congrats on the wedding. How is Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade a main event? Apollo Crews versus Roderick Strong should have been the main event. I got to tell you, I completely agree with you here, Nick Grosso. I will say that one of the biggest highlights of tonight, I would say the highlight of today's show, was legitimately Apollo Crews versus Roderick Strong because, you know, obviously we're going to, you know, I might as well talk about that now, guys. Let's talk about that now. Let's talk about this match, because I do think that it was the best thing that happened on NXT 2.0 here today. So first and foremost, you know, let's rewind a little bit because we kind of are going, you know, we have two different stories here to tell, I think. On one hand, you have Roderick Strong, who from, you know, unfortunately, these last couple of weeks on NXT 2.0, I wouldn't say have been like the bestest in terms of like the storytelling for Roderick Strong. It's been kind of a little bit frustrating seeing the Creed brothers and Roderick Strong go about this whole, are we friends? Are we not friends? Are we going to break up? Are we not going to break up? Storyline has been going on forever. I've been talking about this for weeks, how I've been saying, you know what, I'm kind of over with already waiting for the Creed brothers and the, you know, Roderick Strong to officially break up, for the Diamond Mine to officially dissolve. And I've been talking about this for weeks, right? And then I missed 2 weeks of NXT. I come back and we're still talking about this. This is still something that we're like, okay, when is the Diamond Mine going to break up? And no offense to the Diamond Mine, but it's not like I wouldn't consider them an iconic stable by any means. So it's not like it's hard to let go of the Diamond Mine. At this point, I'm like, break up already. Just please break up already. I don't care. I'm tired of hearing the whining back and forth. I'm done. So that's kind of where I am on the Roderick Strong, Diamond Mine, Creed Brothers situation, right? I'm over with it. Over it is what I'm trying to get at. Apollo Crews. Now, Apollo Crews, you know, recently came back to NXT 2.0, and he's been doing all of these for weeks. He had those skits where he was attacking people that do bad things and this and that. But for the most part, we've been seeing that Apollo Crews has kind of been feeling himself on NXT 2.0. And, you know, previous stuff that he was doing on the main roster, we've talked about it not having been so great, having been a little bit cartoonish, you know, the stuff that he was doing with Commander Aziz, it kind of wore out very quickly. It wasn't necessarily one of the hot items on, you know, the main roster. So definitely him coming into NXT 2.0 and getting rebranded in a way and kind of getting to see this different version of Apollo Crews, which we had seen plenty of, like, we've seen shades of this with Apollo Crews in the past on the main roster. We've seen a lot of, you know, the good in Apollo Crews, right? But I feel like this match with Roderick Strong was literally the best thing that I recall seeing from Apollo Crews in a very, very long time. I know that he was having, like, before winning the Intercontinental Championship, I think when he was on Raw, right before he moved to SmackDown, he was having some good matches there. I believe it was like during the Thunderdome era, if I'm getting my timing correctly. He did have a couple of good matches during that period because I remember them being good, but since then, I didn't recall anything else that really had been super noteworthy when it came to Apollo Crews. And so we finally got this match with him and Roderick Strong here tonight. And it was legitimately like, it almost felt like Apollo Crews had been like reawoken. Like he kind of had a reason, a purpose, like a purpose to like go out there and put on a pretty good job, put on a good match, right? Quickly in this match, you know, at the start of it, we had Roderick Strong basically trying to keep down Apollo Crews, keep him on the mat. But Apollo Crews basically got the pace and the momentum, you know, going a little bit more. He got Roderick Strong with, like, he did his leapfrog, he did his drop kick, he got him with a couple of slaps right before the commercial breaks. They both do a double clothesline. We come back from the commercial break, we see multiple clotheslines from Apollo Crews. I mean, the guy is just like pumped, man. He's hitting him with a bunch of clotheslines. After this, he gets him with an enziguri. We see him get double knees to the gut of Roderick Strong. So a bunch of really good moments where I feel Apollo Crews got to showcase quite a bit of himself there. And then he eventually gets the victory. I felt it was a very strong victory for Apollo Crews throughout the entire thing. So I love this. I really, really loved this match. I felt like I just got something new out of Apollo Crews that I hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, obviously Roderick Strong is awesome in the ring. We already know that. The storyline, maybe not so much, but the in-ring work is always great with Roderick Strong. So I think regardless, it was a pretty good outcome there. And afterwards, we did have, you know, Roderick Strong and the Creed brothers continue their argument and all of that stuff. So anyways, that's the situation there. And I do agree this should have been the main event because I personally wasn't too crazy about Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade. And I might as well talk about that right now because, to be honest, it was the main event and I don't even feel like I have much to add other than, like, I kind of feel like I don't know. I feel like Zoe Stark right now, like, it, you know, I like Zoe Stark. I'm on board with Zoe Stark, but I still kind of feel like maybe the interest for me is not really just there yet with Zoe. I want it to be there, but I feel like I really haven't been given like a legitimate reason as to why my interest should be there. You know, I'm clearly interested in Cora Jade. I love, you know, the addition that she added to her music. I don't know when she added this. Maybe it was last week or the week before that when I didn't watch the show, but I love that new addition about her being the new generation and this being the generation of Cora Jade for her theme song. So that was good too. But I did not think that this was main event worthy for tonight. Thank you so much to Nick Grosso, and I hope I gave you an in-depth answer there. We got another super chat from my good friend Sheldon Jackson. What's up, Sheldon? He says, welcome back, Denise. How's married life so far and finally getting legit health insurance? I said that somewhere on a podcast, didn't I? I'm pretty sure I said that I was still on Obamacare. I think I'm on Obamacare. To be honest, I don't even know what health insurance I'm on. Like, I legitimately have no idea, but I know it's like the trash ass insurance, like the worst insurance that a person can have. I think that's the one I've got. So yeah, I'm very excited to be put onto a new insurance plan, but that's not going to be till November. So hopefully within the next 3 months, I'm good and don't need serious health insurance, because why am I talking about this? I reveal a lot of information. But so far, married life has been good, mainly because I was in Hawaii, but now I'm back. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for sending in this super chat here. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and let's get some thoughts in here on this match and see what people are saying about this. There's a comment from Paul Huffman who says, when Malcolm Bivens left, I was like, yeah, just let it go. Malcolm Bivens, honestly, I think he was kind of the glue to me that was holding Diamond Mine together, because during this time, I'm trying to remember if Creed Brothers were champions already when Malcolm Bivens was still there. No, I don't think so. I think they became champions afterwards, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to get my time frame going here. But I remember like the Creed Brothers at one point being that team where you were like, man, I just can't wait for them to become champions. You know, I'm on board. And really, they were the muscle in the group that really had my interest for Diamond Mine, The reason I was interested in Diamond Mine was because of the Creed Brothers. But I feel like Malcolm Bivens was honestly the glue to it all, because he was the one who added life, who added personality. He was so fun to watch, so good on the promos, and he had good interactions with all the guys. So when Malcolm Bivens was, you know, released and that whole situation went down, I legitimately kind of felt the same, where I thought, well, I mean, the only thing I'm looking forward to now is Creed Brothers becoming champions, but I don't necessarily need them to be part of Diamond Mine for that to happen, obviously. So I do kind of agree with this statement, where when Malcolm Bivens was dropped, I think he was a huge piece of the success of Diamond Mine as a whole. As a whole, Malcolm Bivens was the glue that was kind of holding things together for us to have some sort of interest in the group. So, yeah, and people putting over Roddy and Apollo, Roderick Strong and Apollo having a good match, obviously, because that was really good stuff there. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and continue on from here. Let's talk about some other moments that occurred on today's show. Let's talk about Kiana James versus Nikita Lyons, because that ended up kicking off the show. Honestly, I liked that they gave Nikita Lyons this victory. I thought she looked perfectly fine. She did her spinning kick. She did her little splits, gets the win. Cool. Two girls that are slowly improving, that are getting better and better. You know, we've mentioned how many times before Nikita Lyons is a popular gal amongst the NXT 2.0 fans. But this was a simple match. I kind of would have preferred for Kiana James not to do the post-match attack after the match, because I thought, okay, Nikita Lyons got herself a solid little victory, and for Kiana James just to get her heat back immediately afterwards, I thought, well, was it really needed? No, let's give Nikita Lyons this win. I didn't really think the post-match angle was really needed for this. So that's kind of how I felt. I think I would have just preferred Nikita Lyons to get the win like she did and just kind of end it there and continue on with the show. So I didn't really think we needed the post-match angle for this. But two girls that are slowly, just surely but surely becoming their own there. Alrighty, let's go ahead and continue on from here. We already talked about the Creed brothers, so I do have to mention, I don't have to mention that anymore because I already talked about it. So let's get into probably what, so I talked about what I did enjoy on the show, which was that Roderick Strong Apollo Crews match, but now I do have to talk about the part of the show that I didn't enjoy. And I'm curious to hear what your guys' opinion is on this, because I kind of felt like a little bit, you know, when there's just too much, when you do too much, that it kind of makes everything else seem meaningless. That's what this rounds match between Trick Williams and Wesley felt like. I feel like they tried. I like that they tried to do something that you don't normally see on NXT or on Raw or on SmackDown. Fine. I like that they tried to do something new with this rounds match. I'll give them that. But I kind of feel like they did too much, that it came across as very, very, I know people are going to say like, well, Denise, you're using the word not believable. And, you know, people will take that into a whole other type of conversation. But I didn't care for this rounds match because I couldn't buy a lot of the stuff that was being done. So let me explain what I meant by that. So the rules to this were that there were going to be 6 3-minute rounds. Okay. And then afterwards, it would be a 20-second break in between these rounds, excuse me. Falls are only by pinfall, submission, and count out. Once a fall occurs, the round ends, and then the first to win two falls ends up winning the entire thing. However, a DQ or a knockout ends this match. So I'm thinking, okay, what exactly are they going with this match? So they started this thing out, you know, they had the tail of the tape and all of this. And the first round was essentially them boxing one another. And I thought, okay, so they're going to box the whole thing. All right, fine, whatever. You know, maybe it's not my cup of tea, but this is what they're going to do. But here's the thing, though, is that I couldn't get interested in this. I'm sorry, but like, I cannot watch fake boxing. Like, it's not interesting. It's very, very boring. And like, if you're watching boxing, it's like you're watching legitimate boxing. That shit could be very, very entertaining, okay? Because you got your moments. You got those moments where everybody's like, ah. You know, I grew up in a family that watched a lot of boxing because, you know, everybody would like to watch Oscar De La Hoya. You know, they like to watch Canelo and like all these other boxers, right? And, you know, Floyd Mayweather and all these people. And, you know, we would have these big family gatherings. And I remember so many times watching these shows and kind of, you know, there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of the waiting and, you know, first guy to get a shot in and all of this, right? But when those moments did happen, they were exciting. They meant something. And so for me, like, if I'm going to watch boxing, it's got to be legit. I can't be watching Wesley and Trick Williams do this on NXT 2.0. It's just, it's very, very hard for me to get interested. So whatever. I thought, you know what? Fine. I'll continue on. Just enjoy this. Whatever, right? So after this, we get into the second round, and all of a sudden, the boxing gloves are done, and they're wrestling a regular match. And I'm thinking, wait, what are the rules to this? What are the rules to this match? I was confused. I didn't know if the entire thing was supposed to be a boxing thing. I didn't know if each round changed things. I didn't know what was happening. So I kind of felt like that really wasn't made crystal clear. So I kind of felt like, okay, they're putting all of these ingredients into this bowl of soup. And while I make like all of these ingredients, you don't need all of these into this whole thing that they're doing. So round two, Trick Williams wins this. Then round three apparently happened during the commercial break. Didn't even get to see that. I come back and all of a sudden, it's round four. And Wesley wins, but he has, but Trick Williams had his foot on the ropes, but they still counted it as the win. Okay, so at this point, we're 1-1. But even then, Wesley's actual win wasn't necessarily definitive because Trick Williams had his foot on the rope. Okay, whatever. Then right after this, Trick Williams punches him and supposedly commentary is like, oh, this is a knockout. He's knocked out, this and that. And I'm like, okay, so the knockout is supposed to end the entire match. Okay, fine. So Trick Williams wins, right? But then no, it continued. He got back up and the match continued. And I'm like, okay, what am I watching at this point? I don't know what's going on anymore. So then we get into round five and we end up seeing after round five, we see Wesley hook the leg of Trick Williams. And then afterwards, he ends up like winning this match with like seconds within the ending of the fifth round. So they never made it to the sixth round, but Wesley ends up winning this match. So I kind of felt like there was just too much in here to the point where it got so convoluted. I didn't know what was supposed to happen anymore. They lost me. They completely lost me in this match. So I was not a fan of the rounds match. I think if they would have been more clear about not just the rules, but also like the technicalities and what was supposed to be happening and what we were technically supposed to be seeing. I think had all of that been explained and you had people that would do things that actually mean something, because they were doing a lot of things that didn't mean anything. So for me, I feel like this was not something that I would want to see again. Although I do appreciate thinking outside the box and, you know, switching things up. But I think if you're going to do this, you got to do this with guys that are going to make every move count, that are going to make every punch count, that if he hits somebody, you know, if somebody punches somebody, it's going to mean something. That's going to lead to something else. It's going to have a little bit more of this like psychology. And I don't think we had any of that in this rounds match whatsoever. So that was the Trick Williams Wesley rounds match. So now let's go ahead and get some thoughts in here and see what people are saying about this here. Let's see what we got. Let's see. And we're going to hold on. Let me get some thoughts in here. Let me scroll up to the part where everybody started talking about this. Jay Kobe says, I legit changed the channel during this. After this, we got Darf Stevens saying that he thought it was a little weird. Ender says this didn't work for him. And this is from YT, who says, I tuned into the show during that match, but lucky for me, I missed the first round. I was expecting more of a British rounds wrestling match instead of a boxing rounds match. That's what I thought it was going to be, because they did promote the, you know, NXT UK thing. But it just felt very different. Chris Cage 2X says, this match or the Hager versus Wardlow MMA exhibition match on AEW, which is worse? I think the exhibition match was worse on AEW because that one was seen by more people. and it just felt like, oh, like people were making like a big deal about it. And then it happened and it was like not great. And I know that at least NXT 2.0 is going to go a little bit more under the radar. And it's Trick Williams and Wesley. They're not exactly, you know, the top guys on NXT 2.0. So I do feel like they're lucky that it's going to go under the radar and not very many people, except for like you and I that watched NXT 2.0, are going to be talking about this. But if you don't watch NXT 2.0, chances are you might hear about it, but that's about it. It ain't going to go anywhere above that. So that's kind of how I see things there. And this is from YT, who says, it's because Wesley was knocked out between rounds and therefore it doesn't count as a fall. Thank you for pointing that out. And also, here's the thing, though, that also defeats the purpose. Like, he gets knocked out and then right away he's like, I'm back and let's do this match. I'm like, that's not really how, you know, things happen. But whatever. Whatever. Justin Martin says, a rounds match was just a really weird idea for wrestling in 2022. It was all just overly complicated. Maybe they knew the boxing sucks, so they changed it on the fly. Brandon Charles Powell says, this match was kind of a mess. And Isaac Looper has a funny comment as well. Anyway, so Brandon also brings up a good point, saying it's also not good when commentary is not sure of the rules. And that's what I mean, like, I think they had to maybe do a little bit more explanation for this, because I was thinking, okay, we're going to get all rounds of boxing, or each round changes. What are we doing? Like, what is each six rounds? Like, what are they composed of? Like, where are we going with this? So I did think that this was very confusing and convoluted. If they tried this again, I think they could, you know, tweak some things to actually make it work. Cause I do think the concept could be fun, and it could be very, very fun, but the execution for tonight just wasn't necessarily there. Alrighty, moving on from this, because right after that, we go into the Carmelo Hayes promo. And obviously his guy, his buddy, his bestie is Trick Williams. So, you know, he goes out there and he basically is saying that Wesley cheated and, you know, shouldn't have won this match and blah, 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 whatever. This leads to Giovanni Vinci coming out. And all of this leads to a match at Heatwave for the NXT North American Championship between Carmelo Hayes and Giovanni Vinci. I got to tell you, I'm kind of on board with this. I'm looking forward to Carmelo Hayes and Giovanni Vinci. I think that's going to be a fun and good match. I love that he was wearing the Wesley crying face t-shirt. I don't know if he wore that prior, if this was the first night that he wore it, but I freaking kind of love that t-shirt. So I do want to put him over for that. And I also liked one of the lines that he had, which when Carmelo Hayes tells Giovanni Vinci, he tells them like, I'm going to put your face on a t-shirt and it's not going to be designer brand. I thought that was great because obviously Giovanni Vinci is supposed to be like this very fancy bougie man who only wears fine Italian clothing. And so that was a good little line. I kind of like that. But anyways, they end up kind of like sucker punching each other. And that's a wrap. That match is going to happen at Heatwave. So cool. I'm on board. I like this. All right, fine. I love Carmelo Hayes. I like Giovanni Vinci as well. So I'm looking forward to this. Perfectly A-okay. All right, we got a promo package that I want to put over because, as you guys know, I didn't get to watch the last 2 weeks of NXT. You know, obviously, I saw when JD McDonagh attacked Bron Breakker. I saw the back and forth with Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh the following week when they did their little thing on the Titantron. But the last 2 weeks, out of the loop, didn't know what was going on with them. So they did a promo package, and I liked it. They caught me up. Even though I missed the last 2 weeks, I felt like I knew what was going on and what their different mentality and belief system was, because they had Bron Breakker talk, like showing him like he's training and he's like kind of training like Rocky, where he's doing all these like activities and stuff like that. I like seeing all of that. And then JD McDonagh kind of talking about how he likes to train in isolation. And then he says like, oh, Bron Breakker, you can endure pain, but I welcome it. And they showed, you know, clips of what happened in the last 2 weeks. And I love this. I thought it was great. I thought, you know what? Like, even if I didn't get to watch what happened the last 2 weeks, I felt like they caught me up here and it kept my interest. I'm as interested in Bron Breakker, JD McDonagh, as I was previous when this whole attack even happened. So I'm glad. I'm actually looking forward to this match for the most part. Good stuff, man. Kudos to the NXT 2.0 person that does the packages, because they're doing a pretty kick-ass job. Job for them. All right, guys, let's go ahead and continue on from here. Friendly reminder, if you are here live watching NXT 2.0 August 9th review, I will be back here once again tomorrow night to chat AEW Dynamite. I'm so excited. That's always my favorite show of the week to come out here and do on Wednesdays. It's always a lot of fun. And then I will be back here on Friday to talk SmackDown and Rampage. So that should be a good time as well. Let's go ahead and get into this next match, which was Thea Hale versus Ariana Grace. Now, I unfortunately missed Ariana Grace's NXT debut. She made her NXT debut on the July 26th edition of NXT. Prior to that, she was doing Level Up, but you guys know I don't watch Level Up. And so today was the Thea Hale NXT debut. So for me, even though this was my first time seeing both of them go at it together and seeing them both on NXT. So even though Thea Hale was supposed to be the one making her debut, to me, they were both new. They were both completely new to me. So from just seeing this from like 1 week, the one thing that I really did like, or rather the two things that I did like finally, for all the Chase U fans out there, you guys know I haven't been on board with the Chase U stuff. It's not really for me, but I actually liked this Chase U skit that they did backstage this week. So thumbs up to the Chase U stans. You finally take a W this week. I thought this was funny. So basically, you know, they're saying Ariana Grace is saying that she got hit in the face with a ball on the Chase U campus by Thea Hale, and now she has a black eye. And so Andre Chase essentially makes the match between both women because Grace is upset and she's saying that she's going to sue and this and that. And so obviously Andre Chase freaks out about the lawsuit and this and that. So they end up doing their match in the ring. So I did like the way that this was all set up. I thought it was funny for the most part. Everybody did a good job in this. So thumbs up to that. Thumbs up. The match itself, yeah, obviously it wasn't like anything super amazing. It was fine. It was like whatever. So it's what you would expect from both of them. It's what you would expect, right? Nothing more, nothing less. It's what you would expect. But I do want to put over Thea Hale. And the thing I do want to put over about Thea Hale is her energy. I really like the energy that she's bringing, the energy that she brings in these skits and the energy that she brings in the ring. The energy that she has is appealing to me. I like it. So that's the one thing that I do want to say that really, really stood out to me during this. Ariana, we know she's the daughter of Santino. We know that. But I mean, this was my first time really seeing her in the ring. So I feel like I think she was what I expected and nothing more, nothing less. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. And we'll see how she does. You know, there's a lot of people that, we've been casually seeing improve on NXT 2.0. Some people improve faster than others. And we'll see how Ariana does. But for the most part, she did a pretty good job with the comedy aspect of the stuff, the comedy aspect of NXT 2.0. Alrighty, let's go ahead and continue on from here. And we got people celebrating that I came around for the Chase U segment. Fernando Zaya says Chase U is slowly growing on me. I mean, if it's growing on me, I'm talking like really, really slow. I'm talking like turtle freaking sloth movement, okay? This one time, and I've been seeing Chase U University now for what? Almost, all these months that they've been doing it. Just this once it worked. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from here. Chris Cage 2X says JD McDonagh is acting like a surgeon, talking about all the possible ways to break a person's bone, and Bron Breakker supposed to act fearful of him. This feud is not good, says Chris Cage 2X. I'm liking it. But granted, I missed 2 weeks, so but I liked the freaking video package that they did. I thought it was perfectly fine. But again, I wasn't here the last 2 weeks, so I'm seeing this show with a different lens this week. Who knows what I'll be seeing it next week. Xenowire says she was in the tournament. Oh, well, that should tell you everything because I don't even remember her being in the tournament. So, ooh. That's terrible, actually. If I don't remember somebody being in a tournament, that probably means that they weren't a standout. So usually the people that stand out in these tournaments, you remember them. So if I don't remember them, chances are there was nothing to remember. So unfortunately, that's where we're at. All right, continuing on from here, YT says they're going to chase you until you like them. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All right, moving on from here, another segment that I did like. I gotta tell you, I'm a big fan of Sangha. I've said this before. I know what it is. I like Sangha. I really like Sangha. And it's not like I like Sangha, it doesn't mean that I'm rooting for him to become WWE champion. I'm not saying this guy's going to, be the next Brock Lesnar or something like that. No, but I like Sangha, just people that you just like. That you just like for no reason. You just like those people. I'm with Sangha, man. I like Sangha. He's backstage mentoring Valentina and Yulisa Leon. We've been seeing them even before they were already kind of, befriending each other and friends. They just suddenly became friends and we were seeing them on NXT engage with one another. Cool. So we've been seeing this happen now for the last couple of weeks. Fine. I kind of like this because, they had Casey and Kaden or Katana come in and basically, they kind of, Yulisa and Valentina don't see themselves at the level of being NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, right? So they're like, oh, we're not there yet. We're not going to be like them because we're really not there yet. And then Sangha's like, it's all about balance. and perspective. And he's like basically telling them how they could be like them, that they could be champions, that they have what it takes. And I'm thinking, you know what, Sangha? That's very nice of you. So I kind of like this like very chill vibe on this big, massive giant. It's working for me. I got a soft spot for Sangha. So I will not tolerate any Sangha hating on this show at all. So you know how it says we all need Sangha in our lives. Honestly, Dooley says Sangha is better than Shanky. Shanky had like maybe two moments that I LOL'd at on SmackDown where I went, ha, that's funny. Two. But if you're going to tell me like, oh, who are you a bigger fan of? I'd definitely go with Sangha. But I don't want to bury Shanky. I think Sangha's definitely up there. Like, I would put him above Commander Aziz. I'd put him above, I don't want to say above Omos, because Omos has just done a lot more and I've seen so much more of Omos. But I do think when Sangha starts doing more, I could see him even going above Omos in that way. But we'll see. Yeah, he seems pretty chill. I don't know what it is. We all like him. All right. Let's see what people are saying here. And this is from, I wanted to read a comment. Oh, yeah. This is from Dooley, who says, where did Veer go? I have no idea. He took so long to come and now we don't know where he's at. Man, Brandon says, give me a trio of Sangha, Shanky, and Veer. Honestly, I don't think I'd be opposed to that. I mean, it would be funny, but visually, I think it'd be great, actually. I wouldn't be opposed to that. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here. And let's see what else we got. Let's get into the matches that were announced for Heat Wave. We got Carmelo Hayes versus Giovanni Vinci for the NXT North American Championship. We got JD McDonagh versus Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship. And then we got Mandy Rose versus Zoe for the NXT Women's Championship. So good stuff. It's looking to be like a show that is shaping up. So I'm going to be excited to talk about NXT next week with Heatwave. All right, guys. We got two more things to talk. Actually, three more things to talk about. And then the show will be a wrap. Let's get into another one of my favorite things and from today's show. And actually, what feels the most promising, and I'll tell you guys why. This was the Santos Escobar, Tony D'Angelo meeting that they had in some park somewhere. Okay, so you guys know I've been a fan of this whole story between Santos and Tony D'Angelo, all of the little meetings that they've had, the way that everything has sort of played out. I've become a fan of, you know, I was obviously already a fan of Santos Escobar. So I will say that I became a Tony D'Angelo fan because prior to that, I wasn't those people. Like, I hate to say it, but like, I know that Tony D'Angelo was like right away, like a lot of people were like, yeah, we like Tony D'Angelo, like instantly. It was instant for a lot of people, but it wasn't instant for me. And so I will say that with this feud that he's been doing, with the story that he's been doing with Santos Escobar, I've become a fan of Tony D'Angelo because of this feud. And Santos Escobar, I was already a fan. I was already a fan since before he even went to WWE. So I was already a fan for a long time. But this is why I'm excited here. So they have their meeting in the park. And basically what we get is, you know, Tony D'Angelo is pissed off at Santos Escobar for getting him with the brass knucks. And Santos is like, I'm full of surprises. And Santos Escobar starts asking him all these questions. Tony doesn't like the questions that he's being asked. And Santos basically tells him, like, look, this arrangement between us, it's not working. Because you guys all know that, you know, Santos is Legado del Fantasma is essentially having to do everything that Tony wants them to do. Whatever. Tony starts telling them, like, you know, you got your head shoved up your butt and this and that. Well, this all led to a not just a match at Heat Wave, but a stipulation added to this match at Heat Wave. So not only is it going to be a street fight between Santos and Tony D'Angelo, but get this, if Santos loses this match against Tony D'Angelo, he is going to be gone from NXT forever. Done. Gone. Finito. Finished. No more. No mas. From NXT. However, his guys are still going to stay in NXT, though. This is just for Santos Escobar. If he loses, he's gone, but his guys still stay. And they still stay under Tony D'Angelo. Okay, now if Santos Escobar wins this match, then they're free. Him and, you know, the entire Legado del Fantasma are free from Tony D'Angelo. Now, I would normally be like, oh, I really want Santos to win or whatever, right? But I want Santos to lose, because if he does, there is a good chance that he is going to the main roster. And this honestly feels like a setup for Santos Escobar to be gone from NXT 2.0 and move on to the main roster. So this is somebody that, you know, I've been saying for such a long time, like, he's got what it takes. He needs to go to the main roster. In fact, it's felt like he's needed to go, you know, yesterday. Okay. Like, a long time ago. This is overdue. We needed Santos Escobar on the main roster a long time ago. Same thing for Legado del Fantasma. Entire Legado del Fantasma should be on the main roster, okay? But definitely more so Santos Escobar. Whatever. So I'm excited, guys. I've kind of got my hopes up already. I'm expecting Santos Escobar to lose. I'm expecting him to pop up on the main roster. And, you know, prior to this, this all goes back to the Vince McMahon, Triple H thing. We all been discussing this till the end of time. But the number one thing that a lot of people have been talking about and you've been hearing about nonstop is how now that Triple H is in charge, you know, there's a better chance for certain people that may not have been treated a certain way on the main roster. Now they have a better chance on the main roster with Triple H basically running creative. So things are looking good for Santos, at least from right now, from this perspective, they seem to be looking good. So I really hope that it plays out that way. And let's go ahead and see what else we got here and what people are saying. This is from Nick Rosso, who says it would be a mistake to split Santos from his group. I mean, maybe they can come up with a loophole where they take them all, but I don't think it would be a mistake though to necessarily split them, because he has enough personality and charisma to carry himself, where like he doesn't technically need somebody to help him, you know, get over. The guy's got enough personality and charisma to do that. But I do love Legado del Fantasma as a unit. Love them all together. So I would love them to all go up together. But if it's one or the other, I'll take it without, you know. All right. So, and yeah, Daniel Rodriguez brings up a good point, saying that Triple H knows he needs to build up that roster. And boy, does he need to build that up. A lot of people are saying that they really hope that they see him on SmackDown. And I do think that's a really great place to put Santos on SmackDown, because they just really need a lot of bodies there. They need to add people. And they, you know, we saw, you know, we've seen Dakota Kai come back. We've seen Io Shirai get moved up. We saw freaking Dexter Lumis last night on Raw. Karrion Kross is another one. And so we're starting to see, you know, these people that Triple H is either a fan of or, you know, wants to give a real opportunity to. So I do think that, you know, Santos would be a good one at that. And I would like to see, I don't care if he goes to Raw or SmackDown, but I do think he's needed a lot more on SmackDown. So because he's needed more so on SmackDown, I'd go with the blue brand for sure. All right. And let's go ahead and continue on from here and see what we got. This is actually from, let's see, this is from Something, who says, I could see Santos losing to Tony and the rest of LDF quitting NXT 2.0 in protest or something like that. And then getting them, like, they just pop in to SmackDown or something. That could be something. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here, and let's get into Malik Blade versus Malik Blade and Idris Inofi versus Pretty Deadly. I thought this match could have gone a lot longer. This was a quick match. Pretty Deadly got the win, and there's nothing much else to add here other than it looks like Pretty Deadly and Lash Legend are going to be friends now, accumulated somehow. That could be interesting. They could play off of each other in a fun way, I guess. But other than that, I think this match could have been longer because these are two good teams, and I think we could have gotten a little bit more in-ring-wise. But nothing else much that I want to talk about that. Now, the last thing that I'm going to talk about on the show is we already talked about the main event at the top of this. The last thing that I want to talk about is the Joe Gacy, Cameron Grimes situation, because I had totally forgotten that they were teasing this. So the last time that I was here 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how it looks like Cameron Grimes is going to be joining up with Joe Gacy. And I thought, God, no, please, no, let's not do this. Now, I don't know what I missed these last 2 weeks. Maybe you guys here in the chat could fill me in. But based on what we saw here today, you know, Cameron Grimes is still down and out. He's still not totally feeling himself, kind of lost the pep in his step. And he's leaving and he's like, I'm going to go home. And Joe Gacy and his guys come up and they're like, home where? And so it seems to me, from what I saw before I left and what I saw here tonight, that they're still teasing Cameron Grimes' alliance with Joe Gacy. Now, I hope that's not the case because Cameron Grimes is another one of those guys that I am ready to see on the main roster. He's paid his dues. He's done everything you can do on the NXT brand. You know, he was thriving in the Black and Gold brand. He did a lot on the new version of NXT. And it is time to push that man to the moon and send him over to the main roster. So I hope that's the case too with him, honestly. And then M. Durrett also once told me not to forget Tiffany and Wendy Choo. Wendy Choo attacks Tiffany Stratton. This feud has been going on for a while too, but I kind of like their polar opposite. I don't even want to call it polar opposite personalities. They're just very, very different girls. All right, guys, before we wrap things up, I do got one more super chat here to read. And then just a heads up, guys, I will be back here tomorrow to chat AEW Dynamite. I can't wait. We got Quake by the Lake, so that should be a fun night to talk about. So make sure you guys come in. It's going to be a good time. Now, let's go ahead and get into this super chat from Christopher Marino. Thank you so much to Christopher, who says, put Los Lotharios with Santos and Legado. Also, congratulations and welcome back. Here's a little money dance money. Thank you very much. Seriously, I appreciate it. I really like where you're going with this Los Lotharios and Santos. Damn, have they even been showcasing? I don't even think that they've really been showcasing Humberto or Angel Garza recently, because they did have like a couple of matches with Viking Raiders for a bit. And but nothing that was really major. I don't even remember what the hell they've been doing on the show. What are they even doing on SmackDown? I don't even remember. I would love to see them with Santos Escobar. Angel Garza has a bunch of like charisma. I think they could feed off of each other like that. Humberto will get along just fine. There's something there. Yeah, I like this thought. There's something that could be there. And I could see that kind of being a thing. Christopher, thank you so much for throwing this out there and for also sending in this super chat. Alrighty, guys. Oh man, I'm just laughing at some of these comments here. Alrighty, everybody. That was the show for today. Thank you guys as always for tuning in to chat NXT 2.0. Glad you guys still care enough to come chat about the show. So that makes me very happy. But I will see you guys back here tomorrow for AEW Dynamite. And do not forget to subscribe to F4W Online. We're almost at 100,000 subscribers. So make sure you guys click that subscribe button. If you haven't already, follow me on Twitter and or on Instagram at _DeniseSalcedo and youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. Alrighty, guys. I'll see you guys next time. Bye, everyone.